Hi, I'm Charlie, and this is Stereo Hysteria. Our July Artists of the Month, Wussy, are a rock group based in Cincinnati, Ohio, that was formed in 2001 by Chuck Cleaver and Lisa Walker, whose haunting songs and layered vocals are at the center of the band's sound. Their current lineup also includes Mark Messerly on bass and keyboards, Joe Klug on drums, and John Earhart, Chuck's former bandmate in the Ass Ponies, on pedal steel guitar. The consistently high quality of Wussy's records have inspired much critical praise, with legendary rock critic Robert Christgau calling them the best band in America. Last month, they embarked on a tour of the United States in support of their new album, Attica. Stereo Hysteria got to speak with Chuck just before they played the first show of that tour at Chicago's Red Line Tap, and we'll be hearing parts of that conversation over the next hour. But let's start off with a song from their 2011 album, Strawberry, called Asteroid.
Hello.
It's good to meet you.
Yeah, it's good to meet you.
This is the first day of your tour?
Yes. We just left this morning, so.
Whose idea was it to start a tour on Friday the 13th and a full moon?
I think it was by accident, really. I don't think it was planned or anything. But they said there's a strawberry moon tonight or something? The first one in 100
like
years
or something?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know about the 13 thing anyway,
right.
You know.
I've heard that Neil Young only records his albums on full moons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people are creeped out by that stuff. And I got to admit, I don't walk under ladders. But so some of them I'm weird about. But I don't walk under ladders because something could drop. I was in construction for 15 years, and somebody could drop something on your head. It's not really about bad luck. It's just preservation. Yeah. So,
could you tell me, like, the origin story of Wussy?
Oh, let me think. I had met Lisa at I was in a band called the Ass Ponies in the 90s, and we were playing a show, and we got done, and I met her after the show. She came up and said that she liked our music and stuff, and asked me if I'd ever sang with anybody. You know, I said, well, no, not really. I was the only vocalist in the Ass Ponies. I mean, we had some background vocals, but, and about maybe a month or two later, I had to play a solo show for some awards thing.
Okay.
At the time, at least, I didn't like playing by myself very much. I was really nervous about it. And she was someplace, and I was talking about it. We were at a little club there, and she said, well, I'll go up and sing with you. And so I just scrawled down some lyrics on a napkin, and she got up and sang with me, and it was flawless. I mean, you know, and I just thought, well, this is all right. And so that's kind of how we got started.
Were you doing Ass Pony songs at that?
Yes, yeah. You know, I just said, you ever thought about maybe being in a band or anything? And she's like, sure. So that's how we got started. We were just a two-piece. It was just a fairly natural process. I knew Mark. He was in some bands in town, and I always thought he was a good player and interesting and stuff. So we asked him if he wanted to play. And so then we were a three-piece. And then a woman who'd never played drums before in her life came up after a show once and said, hey, do you guys want a drummer? I'll learn to play if you want a drummer. And so we said, okay. And then she left about, I guess after three records, she got married, moved to Texas, and Joe came on, our new drummer, and then, relatively new, and then John and I played together in the Ass Ponies, and he's on pedal steel and guitar. Just kind of this weird process. I mean, you know, I don't know that we'll become a six-piece. I think five's enough, but, yeah. You know.
From Wussy's excellent self-titled third album, released in 2009, here's a song called Gone Missing. In the band a Cincinnati native?
Let me think a minute. John is, and Joe. Mark actually is from up around Cleveland. I'm from a little town about an hour north of Cincinnati. I moved down there to go to college. And Lisa's from Muncie, Indiana.
Okay. But it's all like a Midwest...
Oh, yeah, within a fairly small circle.
Do you find that your location influences the way that you write?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I would hope that's how people write. I mean, I would feel stupid writing about elves or knights and shining armor and stuff like that.
Right.
This is radio, so I don't want to cuss, I guess.
Oh, you can go for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. But no, I mean, I can't imagine writing about anything other than what I know. Mm-hmm. The weird thing is I've written... I really like sad songs. I've always been a sad song fan, and so that's what I tend to write, you know? And it's not because I'm particularly sad. It's just the way it comes out.
Right.
But I don't know the Wussies. I can't recall that we've ever written anything that was really happy. Some of our melodies are kind of happy, but I don't think, you know... I don't know. We're all fairly jovial people.
Right.
I get the feeling people think we're these sad sacks that mope around and debate hanging ourselves every 20 minutes or something, and it's just not true, you know?
Well, I would say that the first song on the new album, Teenage Wasteland... Maybe it's not exuberant, but it does have a...
Well, people have noticed that the new record is a bit more... overall is a bit more like... Even the sad songs seem to be more in third person than anything. But the thing is, I've always just made a lot of stuff up, you know?
Right.
People have always assumed... Well, I mean, because Lisa and I were a couple for a while. And so they always assumed that all these songs were about us. And I'm like, no, I just made that stuff up, you know? Some of it, you know, some life seeps into it. But it's like, if all that stuff happened to us, we'd be dead. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, Stephen King's not a moss-covered monster. He writes about that kind of stuff. He's not.
That we know.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? You never know. But his feet could look terrible. But people, for some reason, don't give songwriters the same berth that they give fiction writers.
Right.
Like, did you ever think that we're making this shit up?
Yeah.
We're just making it up. It's stuff. A lot of it's other people's stories, you know. Sometimes it's not mine. It sounds like it's mine, but it's not,
right.
You know, so
just using the first person pronouns always throws people.
Oh yeah, exactly. But if you don't, then you sound too much like a here's another story, you know.
From 2007's Left for Dead, here's a track called What's His Name.
Send it to a watery grave. Honey, I'm in love. And you're in bed with what's his
albums have been really consistently critically acclaimed, but it doesn't seem like that's been parlayed into household name status.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably a lot of reasons for that. Our location probably didn't help, you know. Cincinnati's not exactly, you know, ever been considered a hotbed, I guess. I mean, the Afghan Whigs are from there, you know, and it's got a wonderful history with King Records and Star Day and some of that. But, yeah, we've always been kind of puzzled about it because we've always done well with critics. We're very much a cult band, I suppose. But, you know, over the last couple of records, it started to get a lot better, you know. It's more people at shows and making a little bit more money. I mean, nothing amazing, you know, but still, it has gotten better. Who knows? I can't pretend to know what people like, you know. I just play what I want, and, you know, we very much are a band that play for ourselves, and hopefully other people like it too, you know. We're not trying to be dicks or anything. It's just like, you know, we just want to sound like what we sound like, you know. And there's just so many different, everybody in the band likes different kinds of music, so it all kind of gets rolled into, you know, one thing.
Right.
So,
I mean, I think that none of your music is a throwback. You've definitely got your own sound, but there are points where you could point to a song and say, oh, that's got a kind of R.E.M. arpeggio.
Yeah, there's very much touchstones, you know. It's because we actively kind of do that, you know. Yeah. It's like, let's put a Yola Tingo-sounding guitar solo in this, or let's make this a sonic. But, you know, not trying to copy them, more like to say, you know, this is really good shit. Let's just keep this ball rolling, you know. Because, you know, we admire a lot of the stuff that we kind of sound like, I suppose, you know.
I would imagine that's just an easy way to, like, a musical shorthand.
Oh, sure.
And
the thing is, I get really tired because bands won't admit it, you know? There's nothing wrong with copying. I mean, you know, I don't want to sound just exactly like anybody, but there's nothing wrong with taking a little bits and pieces from different things, you know? I mean, we're having to take the song Funeral Dress off the record Funeral Dress because we got a cease and desist on it or whatever. I don't guess it was a cease and desist. But because it sounds too much like Teenage Kicks by the Undertones. And we knew that. You know, it's like, yeah, this is just Teenage Kicks with some other lyrics. I mean, but it took 10 years for him to do it because it was never released in England, and Teenage Kicks wasn't really big over here, so nobody kind of, people recognize it, but they're like, eh, whatever. And then we got released in England, and all of a sudden it's like somebody gets in touch with us and says, hey, you can't do this. It's, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, whatever we did. The thing is, I think they thought we made a lot more money than what we did, you know, so they spent like $100,000 to get like $1,200, you know. So I was like, So now we're going to just take, Funeral Dress is out of, our first record's out of print, and when it comes back, it's just not going to have that song on it.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, eh, piss on you people, you know.
But Teenage Kicks is just like a doo-wop progression.
Exactly. And what other songs aren't, you know, there are only so many chords, and there are only so many chord progressions that are at least moderately pleasing to the ear. So every song is another song. It's just the way it is, you know. I don't know, whatever. You know, I think they thought they were, you know, it's like, ooh, we're going to get these guys, you know, we're going to make some money. It's like, well, no, you didn't really make any money at all. So whatever. Our label owner was kind of flattered by it. He's like, well, at least somebody's paying enough attention to you to sue you. You know, so.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
From original pressings of their 2005 debut album, this is Funeral Dress. So in order that you can best do, save your money for a funeral dress. Skip your dinner when you got the news. Maybe now you can't afford the shoes, but you're alive. Each and every day. Count every second you're alive. No, and you'll never come again.
recorded the album Funeral Dress twice, first as your debut album and then a couple years later as an acoustic record.
Yeah, we recorded it as with Joe the second time. Darren wanted to do our label owner, Darren Blaze, Shake It. Well, he is also a record store, one probably the best record store in the country, and I'm not just saying that because we're on the label. I used to be a record dealer, and so I've been to record stores all over the country, and Shake It is a wonderful, wonderful record store. But he wanted to do something for Record Store Day, and he said, why don't you just, you know, sit down on a couch, one session, put some mics up, and re-record your first record as an acoustic record. So that's what we did. And it turned out, none of us really listen to it all that much, but a lot of people like it. Those are two bandmates. They live together.
Taken from Funeral Dress 2, released on Record Store Day in 2011, here's an acoustic version of Airborne.
Well, you said that you would call me, you didn't call me. Up for the day, and I was working on a backbone, chiseling a tombstone, when you called me up and said, through a wall of heavy breathing, you thought it was relieving to be out on your own. How a voice that used to fill me could cut me up and kill me on the fucking telephone. You did not even send the airborne anyway. Why am Well, it was just another Thursday like any other Thursday, except that we were through. We were waiting in the concrete, digging through the scrap heap, deciding what belonged to who.
And all the treasure from the good days was going through the last phase of yours and yours and mine, when something from the yours pile shattered on the floor tile, and you went off like Frankenstein.
You did not even send me airborne.
Place another call, didn't think that you would fall in with the company you keep. And you tell me that you love me, but you don't really love me. You remind me every day when you're living on a floodplain. It doesn't take a hard rain to wash it all away.
You did not even send me airborne anyway. Why in the world I hung around, it's hard to say.
A big part of the Wussy sound is the vocal interplay between you and Lisa.
Yeah.
How did that develop over the years?
Oh, it's all her. I just sing the way I sing, and she just picked me. I'm very lucky, because she can sing with anybody. She could have sang with anyone. I mean, the woman can harmonize at the drop of a hat with anyone. I've never heard somebody she can't sing with. And she just decided that she wanted to sing with me, so... And that's about it. I just kind of wail, and she finds a place and fixes it up. She makes me sound good. I make her sound terrible.
We meet
in the middle, yeah.
When you're writing songs, do you each tend to bring something to a rehearsal, or does it develop?
It's sort of a different, a lot of different processes. Sometimes either she or I will bring in a skeleton of something that we've written on our own, and the band fleshes it out. Other times I'll start something, like the song, I don't know if you're familiar with Attic, the record Attica, yeah. But the song Bug on there, that was originally a bluegrassy sounding song. I had a chorus for it, you're the drink, you're the drug, you're the bug. And she's like, well, I really like that chorus, but the rest of it's shit. And we're very straight with each other, you know. So we just, she had a sort of a progression that she was thinking about for the main part of the song, and then we took that and made the chorus. We slowed it down, and that became Bug. And we did it in like one night, you know.
From this year's Attica, this is Bug.
You're a drug, you're a bug, gasoline, the sun.
so, you know, just like, so it's a lot of different, you know, ways that stuff, something like To the Lightning, John just had that intro, he plays that intro guitar part. He just started playing it one night, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, and so then I came up with two or three chords, and there it is, you know, and I started mumbling over the top of it, and the words To the Lightning came out, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta write a song around that now.
Right.
And then Lisa sings something completely different at the same time.
Another song from Attica, this is called To the Lightning.
Enemies in the morning, hands on our hearts, dynamite behind our eyelids, this is where the room.
Sometimes it's just, I hate the word jam, but sometimes it's just, we just, or like Teenage Wasteland, I was just playing that intro guitar thing. It's just a finger picked vibrato part. And I was messing around. I wasn't even meaning it to be anything. And she's like, ooh, keep that up. And then all of a sudden, the song popped up. It was weird.
Yeah, the tremolo effect is just so hypnotic.
Yeah, and it's, all it is a three finger. And I just play the same thing all the way through, which is heaven for me. I hate songs with more than two or three chords. It's too much to remember. I write very simple songs. That's a one chord song for me.
Recorded in the band's practice space for Cincinnati Magazine, here's a live performance of Teenage Wasteland.
Because, like, for Teenage Wasteland, you know, she didn't have lyrics to that until basically they weren't finished until the day she went in to sing it. So we had no idea what the song was even going to be about. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even called Teenage Wasteland. It was called Paul Westerberg.
Okay.
Just for a title, you know.
Right.
And she went in and sang it, and we were all in the studio, in the control room, listening, and we were just all looking at each other like, fuck. And it was just, and I think the vocals on it were first or second take. I mean, they were just... And she's like, well, you want me to do it? And John's like, no, we don't need to do that again. That was fantastic, you know. And just the words and shit, you're just like, son of a bitch. This is, you know. And for the first time ever, I actually came up with a harmony part. I was very proud of myself because I'm not a, I don't hear harmony. Mm. I mean, I can obviously detect it. I can hear it when other people do it, but I can't pick it up for some reason. But for some reason, I was able to come up with a harmony part. I was listening to it, and we didn't have a background vocal at first. And I was riding in a car, and I'm like, well, this would be kind of cool. And I started singing it, and I sang it enough that I could actually go into the studio and do it. And when I went in and did it, everybody was like, Jesus Christ, you can't can't do that. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't know how I did it, but I did it, you know? So it was all right. It turned out.
Next album, I'm expecting lots and lots of harmony.
There's a possibility, you know? It's just like, I sing a lot better because of her. She's taught, not taught me on purpose, but just from singing with her, I sing better. And she sings worse, like we said before. You know, I basically, because when we first started singing together, she had been in choir and stuff. She'd traveled to Europe and at university and sang in choirs, like in Belgium and stuff. I mean, not professionally, obviously, but, you know. And so she had a really, that kind of a voice. So when we first started singing together, her voice was more that kind of a singer. You know, nothing wrong with that, but I'm like, you can dirty this up a little bit, you know. And so she started, you know, she's so quick. And again, it wasn't like I said, you have to sing this way. It's just like, you know, it just sort of happened naturally.
And it fits in with the sad songs.
Sure, yeah. Because, I mean, she's in town. She's sort of a go-to person. She sings on jingles and all kinds of stuff.
From Strawberry, here's one of Wussy's most harrowing and moving songs called Waiting Room.
Stand for the silent bride, maidens in crimson drapes, bottle it up inside till it explodes and washes over rows of everyone attending. Sad Midwestern Baptist girl writes, sorry. Crying in the bathroom on the first night of the honeymoon. It numbs you like the colors in the waiting room.
Once it was smile and wave, someone you barely knew. Now it's a shower and shave.
We never really talk about this shit. It just sort of happens. So we've never said, what do we want to sound like? You know, we just do what we do. We just don't want to suck. You know, it's really important that we don't suck. If we start sucking, we'll quit, you know?
That must be a reason for these consistently good reviews, because it doesn't seem like you started at a certain point and then every release got better. It seems like every release is different, but they're all very similar.
Thank you. I hope so. Very obviously, as we go along, they get more lush. They do probably get a little bit more accomplished. Mm-hmm. They're maybe not quite as sloppy. But it's just a sort of a natural progression. I have no idea what our next record will sound like. I have, you know, no clue. We never do. We don't even know going in if we've got a record sometimes. It's just like, well, let's see what happens. We've got a bunch of songs. Let's see what, you know. And John Curley, he's a bass player for the Afghan Whigs, but he's also produced all of our records but one. And he produced most of the Ass Ponies records as well. And I've just worked with him so long that he's just like, he's sort of like our sixth member, because he's always just really good with ideas. He's an excellent studio person, and, you know, it just works. And he'll add stuff. He's played on our stuff before. And, you know, he'll say, that part, that's shitty. And we don't take offense to that kind of stuff.
Right.
When it's your bandmates and people, you listen, because it's like, you know, they're good editors. They, you know, because I've written a ton of fucking songs, and a lot of them aren't any good at all, you know? It's like, you know, you try to figure out the best ones, and, you know.
I was going to ask about the production, because it seems really natural and not necessarily clean, but it does sound like a band playing live, pretty much.
Yeah, especially this one we were, like with Strawberry, our last one, we got into more of a studio thing, a lot of overdubbing and stuff, and we did some overdubbing on this one too, but going into Attica, we really wanted to reflect our live sound as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, very obviously it doesn't, because we don't have a synth player, and there's some synth on it and stuff, and keyboards and such, and, you know, cello, and, but I mean, we wanted the basic tracks to be kept. And so we rehearsed a lot more for it. So when we went in, we could play the songs. And as a result, we can play a lot of the songs off. Because a lot of times, we've had trouble in the past playing a lot of our own songs. You know, you record them and then you're like, we can't really play that anymore, because we did something to it that's impossible to do on stage.
Right.
Because we just don't have the people, or we don't have the instruments, or we're just not talented enough. And it's gotten to the point where we can actually play most of our songs now. So that's kind of cool.
From a 2007 appearance on WOXY that later appeared on the digital-only rarities collection Popular Favorites, here's a live-in-studio take on Rigor Mortis.
We can go to the country. Not too far.
comparing your experience in Wussy with your experience in the Ass Ponies, like, is there a similar fan base, do you find?
Yeah, some people have gotten into us because of the Ass Ponies. I get in just about every city, you know, somebody will come up to me and say, hey, I really am a big Ass Ponies fan, blah, blah, and I heard you in another band. And, you know, some of them are very militant. They don't like Wussy as much as they like the Ass Ponies.
Right.
Some people make it a point to tell me that Wussy is so much better than the Ass Ponies, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's fine, you know, it's okay. I liked both equally well. I thought both had, you know, I loved playing with those guys. I just, after our sixth record, I just, truthfully, I just didn't have anything else to say. You know, I wanted to do something else. And Lisa came along and it worked. And it's a lot easier not being the sole front person.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that there's two people. And I love the fact that there's two people writing. You know, we can be a lot more prolific because of that, you know.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's some records that I write more of the material than she does. Some she writes more than me. And then this particular one, I think we're about even.
Yeah, it seems like your styles mesh very well together. Is it usually the case where whoever writes it sings it?
Usually, more often than not. On Attica, the only one that that's not true of is Home. She sings it, but I wrote it. I tried to sing it, and I just, quite frankly, don't have a good enough voice to sing that song. It really needed somebody that could really sing. I tried a few times, and then John's just like, you know, maybe you should get Lisa to sing this. You're just not, you know, and that's okay. And so, and then she sang it and did it in one or two takes and made me look like a chump. And, you know, but that's okay. You know, that's, she can make anybody look like a chump.
One more track from the most recent album, Attica, called Home.
Going to be able to to talk much longer because I got to go make the set list.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for
I appreciate it. I'm trying to be rude or anything, but if I don't make the set list, I'm always really nervous that they're going to put stuff on there that I don't like. So.
Well, you got a lot to choose from.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me. Appreciate it.
And that's all the time we have for this week's episode. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to purchase any of the music you heard over the past hour, head to wussy.bandcamp.com. And for more information about the band, check out their official website at wussy.org. Be sure to tune in again next week when we'll be exploring a topic that Wussy has written about many times, insects. This is Charlie, signing off.